This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 21st, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter, item 7, Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Oakland County Democratic Party, A12-02. We have Paula Nerthen, Douglas Kodish from Audit, and Mr. Hintermeister to discuss the matter. Is there any discussion?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Oakland County Democratic Party, recommending approval of 5 findings. The 5 findings presented were finding 1, misstatement of financial activity, finding 2, record keeping for employees, finding 3, disclosure of occupation and name of employer. Findings 4 and 5 I will discuss briefly, since both of those contain issues about OCDP's bingo operations. Finding 4, record keeping for receipts. During audit fieldwork, it was noted that OCDP did not maintain adequate documentation and did not properly report receipts from its gaming activities totaling $1,820,466 for the 2012 election cycle. This finding was previously addressed twice by the Commission in response to a request for Commission Directive 69 guidance and a subsequent request for legal consideration by the committee. Specifically, the Commission was asked whether OCDP's gaming nights consisted of 3 separate fundraising events rather than a single event for purposes of applying the record-keeping requirements. The Commission concluded in both instances that OCDP's bingo nights did not constitute 3 separate fundraising events, and that OCDP was required to itemize all contributions exceeding $50 received during each bingo night. Finding 5, use of campaign depository. A review of OCDP's gaming operations found that OCDP did not deposit most of its gaming receipts into its designated campaign depository as required. During the audit period, OCDP collected $1,820,466 from its biweekly gaming activities, but only deposited 25% of these receipts, $450,162, into its campaign depository. OCDP dispersed the majority of these cash receipts, $1,370,304, directly to prize winners and game workers. This issue was addressed in a prior audit report of OCDP approved on March 28, 2001, and the matter was referred to OGC for further enforcement, MER 5236. In that matter, the Commission found that OCDP had violated the requirement to deposit all its bingo receipts and that it failed to properly itemize gaming disbursements. OCDP agreed in a conciliation agreement to correctly disclose all financial activity related to its bingo accounts, deposit all receipts from its bingo games into its designated depository, and properly itemize disbursements that aggregated in excess of $200 from its bingo account. We're prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Vice Chair Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question I have is on that finding 5. And what caught my eye was that this had been raised in a prior audit back in 2001. When you were working with them, how did they address that prior audit? Did the committee believe that they were complying with the obligations that were in that conciliation agreement, and they had misunderstood what was understood of them? At some point there was staff turnover, and they just decided that it's just too cumbersome? Which I guess the appropriate way to handle one of these bingo nights would have been to, from the commission's perspective, is to take those receipts, deposit them, I guess, you know, do an overnight deposit, and then just write out checks there at the bingo hall, as opposed to what it sounds like they did is the money came in, those who won got a payout, then the committee reported all that money as having been received by the committee, and then the payouts would be reported as disbursements. But the money wouldn't hit, like you said, 75% of the money wouldn't actually hit the committee bank account. Did they believe that the way that they were doing it in this instance, because what I understand is the way that they were operating their bingo nights in the earlier audit was differently, where they would only report the net amount, if my understanding is correct. Is that correct that they in the earlier audit they would receive money in, and then they'd do the payouts, and then whatever they netted, that is what would get reported. Not the other 75%.
In the previous audit, most of what they were doing wasn't reported.
Okay.
There was a misstatement issue. So what they were reporting at that time was only $100,000, roughly. There were two transfers of roughly $50,000 from their non-federal account to their federal account, representing the net proceeds of the bingo operations. So they weren't reporting any of the receipts, or except for the $50,000 that was transferred, and none of the disbursements. So it was addressed in that report as a misstatement issue.
Okay. But what I'm trying to get at is did they believe that they were complying with the conciliation agreement? Where was the breakdown here? Because it seems like they'd gone through this before, that they would have understood, okay, this is the way we've got to handle these proceeds from these bingo nights. And was there just a misunderstanding about what their obligations were from your assessment of in dealing with this committee?
It was totally new people.
It was totally okay.
New people, since that was...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Totally new officials.
Okay.
There weren't any people that were there from the prior audit, since that was 14 years ago.
Okay.
So I didn't get the impression that they misunderstood or anything like that. I don't think that they were even aware that they weren't complying.
Okay. Was there any sense that in the aftermath of the earlier audit and enforcement action, that there had been a period of time in which they were depositing and reporting in the manner consistent with the conciliation agreement, and that as personnel turnover happened, that it reverted back to the way that they'd done it before?
I don't know the answer to that, because we don't follow up after the audit's over.
I was just trying to get a sense of, since this issue had been addressed before, just why, you know, we got back to where we were, and whether or not there was any information that would be helpful. I mean, I understand, I can certainly understand their concern here in that the application of the campaign depository requirement does make the administration of their bingo nights much more cumbersome. I can see why they would want to do it the way they do it. And it sounds like there was no indication from the report that there was some misreporting, or that there were, because it was, you know, this was a cash operation, that there were tranches of cash that weren't being reported. It sounds like they were reporting what they were taking in, and then what they were dispersing out. The problem was just, from the audit's perspective, is that just wasn't hitting a bank account. When that money came in, it wasn't hitting a bank account before it was being distributed back out.
They were reporting the operations now.
Okay.
Unlike before, where they weren't reporting the operations. So it is the fact that it wasn't hitting the bank account.
Okay. I appreciate you answer my questions. I mean, I can understand their concerns and why they would want to operate it in the other way. But I mean, I'm not sure what else we can do at this point. especially in light of that earlier audit. So,
Commissioner Goodman.
Just picking up where, I mean, it appears that our regulatory formalities are highly encumbering or impractical for a bingo night. And it looks like what we want to impose on them is they couldn't practically take in the money. And I guess we'd say they have to present vouchers, right? Because you can't write a check there at the bingo game that you don't have in the bank account. If you're taking in the cash at the bingo night, even if you deposit it that night, it might not get credited to your account for a day or two. So you can't go and kite a check that night and give to somebody. So the only practical workaround a voucher system, where you give people vouchers for their wins, and then once the money hits the account, gets credited to the account, then people can turn in the vouchers? Or what are some of the other practical workarounds? Because this is, our regulatory formalities are wagging this whole dog, and I don't think there's a lot of malintent here. No malicious intent. They were trying to run a bingo night as practically as they could. And I can tell you, having worked with many state and local parties from 2001 to 2010, 11, 12, that's just a lifetime of turnover of people who get involved in local parties and get elected. And there's really no institutional memory at that point. So I don't necessarily hold the 2001 conciliation agreement against these new people. They were trying to run a bingo game. I take it you didn't find any evidence of graft or thievery? I mean, you didn't see that.
No.
Okay, so the issue here is a matter of practicality. Is vouchers the way that they should do this? Is vouchers the way?
I don't know if vouchers are really, that was kind of explored in some of the earlier LRAs that were issued or opinions that we received. And so, they have a type of voucher system now for the disbursements over $50, I believe they were issuing them. I don't know what else they could do really to be in compliance with the regulation.
To get the money deposited in time to be able to cut a check.
That's an issue.
I guess there's another way. They could take down the name of every winner and address and then send the checks later. Either way, it's quite an encumbrance to run a bingo game like this. Was this a cycle audit? This $1.8 million that they took?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so they're having bingo games how often?
Twice a week.
Okay, so it's we're not talking about millions of dollars in a short period of time. It's spread over a couple of years, twice a week, 50 weeks a year. Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is I think all this is mitigating in the sense that, yeah, we probably want to get them in compliance with our rules, but we need to recognize, I think, the limits of some practicality of trying to run a bingo night. And we didn't see any evidence of graft or fraud, I take it. So I guess I just make that observation. On finding number four. Oh, let me ask one other thing. Did they make any presentation? I know they came with a question to us about Michigan law defining events. Did they make any presentation about what their legal obligations are under the gaming, the charitable gaming laws of Michigan for paying out? Would Michigan law, for example, prohibit them from issuing vouchers or paying the money out later? I could imagine there might be some state overlay on how they handle money at bingo night.
We got some early documentation about the state bingo laws, and I don't recall us seeing that in there, but I can't really say definitively.
They didn't raise the issue. They didn't say we're compelled by some way of giving people their money here for fear that we might abscond with their money or something like that?
No, and it really, I don't know that we really addressed it or they addressed it either, with the thought of paying out later. They have told us that they're going to try, that they're planning to be in compliance with this, and I think it was early May. So, or at the end of May, I don't recall, but so that they do have some type of plan.
You don't know what it is, whether it's a voucher system or a check system where they take down the winners' names each night. And they, by the way, you got to admit, two bingo games a night, small checks. This is an incredible administrative burden to take the money in, take down everybody's names, wait till the money hits the bank account, then write all those checks out, say, 3-4 days later after every game.
Well, I don't know that they're going to have to write all checks. It depends how they decide to do it, but there will be some smaller amounts could be still dispersed in, through the proper use of a petty cash fund, which was a related issue here, that they weren't utilizing that properly, and that they need to record, I believe it's the name and address for that. But, you know, if they have a system in place, they might be able to disperse the smaller amounts still in petty cash.
Who are they going to work with when they do have their plan? Are they bringing it to audit to show that they're in compliance, or who do they bring it to show that they've reformed their process to audit? And will that be reflected in a final report?
Once they have responded regarding what the plan is.
Okay.
They were just in the works of trying to work out all the details because, like you said, it is a total change in their way of doing things.
Right. So you plan on reflecting that in an audit report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me go back to finding four. You know, the commission decided that these are, for all practical purposes, one event, and you know, one event, not three events. But had it been considered three events, had it been, and you know, reasonable minds perhaps could have disagreed on that point. I see that you're saying that there's an average of $88 coming in for the events.
You know, right.
Per person, mm-hmm. And if we considered them three events, that would be about $30 per person, right?
Right.
In which case, they would not have to report each individual coming in at $30.
They wouldn't have to maintain a record.
They
wouldn't have to
maintain a record
because it wouldn't be over $50.
And if that were three events, then finding four would largely go away, right?
That's correct.
Okay. What I might ask is that the audit division consider at least giving them credit for the argument, even though the commission decided differently. I know that the fact that they brought a question to the commission is reflected in the beginning of the audit report. But it seems to me maybe by footnote or something, just to ameliorate the finding that they operated on the notion that it was three different events. Had that been successful, this would have fallen under a threshold. But the commission subsequently informed them, we consider this one event. That commission determination came later, and therefore there's a finding four. I'm not suggesting we remove finding four, but that we put some ameliorative, give them credit for the argument, at least in a footnote or somewhere in connection with finding four, because it at least ameliorates the sense of culpability here, that they were operating on some sense these were three events. That I think would be fair to the Oakland County Democratic Party. Thank you.
Are there any comments? With regard to this matter, is there a motion? Vice Chair Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Oakland County Democratic Party, which is A12-02, as set forth in Agenda Document Number 15-20-A.
Thank you. Any comments about the motion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay, that, Madam Secretary, passed by 5-0 with one vote outstanding, Commissioner Walter. And thank you very much.